Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Samuel, chapter 15. 2 Samuel 15. And by the way, especially for this group, thank you for your prayers. Hopefully you found out on my on Sunday, but my voice is back. So I know that you guys probably noticed it more than anyone else. So appreciate praying, and it's nice to have my voice back this time. Okay, 2 Samuel 15. Now it came about after this that Absalom provided for himself a chariot and horses and 50 men as runners before him. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way to the gate, and it happened that when any man had a suit to come to the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "From what city are you?" And he would say, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but no man listens to you on part of the king." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that one would appoint me judge in the land. Then every man who has any suit or cause could come to me, and I would give him justice." And it happened that when a man came near to prostrate himself before him, that he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. And in this manner, Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it came about at the end of 40 years, it should actually say four. So that Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed to the Lord in Hebron. And for your servant vowed a vow while I was living in Geshur in Aram, saying, 'If the Lord shall indeed bring me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.' And the king said to him, 'Go in peace.' And so he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron.' Then 200 men went with Absalom from Jerusalem, who were invited, and went innocently, and they did not know anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, Gilo, while he was offering the sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Then a messenger came to David, saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom.' And David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, for otherwise none of us shall escape from Absalom. Go in haste, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down calamity on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword.' Then the king's servants said to the king, 'Behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king chooses.' So the king went out and all his household with him. But the king left 10 concubines to keep the house. And the king went out and all the people with him, and they stopped at the last house. Now all his servants passed on beside him, all the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had come with him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, 'Why will you also go with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile. Return to your own place. And you came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander with us? Will I go where will I where I will? Return and take back your brothers. Mercy and truth be with you.' But Ittai answered the king and said, 'As the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, whether or death, for death or for life, there also your servant will be.' Therefore David said to Ittai, 'Go and pass over.' So Ittai the Gittite passed over with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. And while all the country was weeping with a loud voice and all the people passed over, the king also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Now behold, Zadok also came, and all the Levites with him carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God, and they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar came up until all the people had finished passing from the city. And the king said to Zadok, 'Return the ark of God to the city. If I find favor in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he should say thus, I have no delight in you, behold, here I am. Let him do to me as seems good to him.' And the king also said to Zadok the priest, 'Are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, your son Ahimaaz and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I am going to wait at the fords of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me.' Therefore Zadok and Abiathar returned the ark of God to Jerusalem and remained there. And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, wept as he went, and his head was covered, and he walked barefoot. Then all the people who were with him each covered his head and went up weeping as they went. Now someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness. And it happened as David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, that behold, Hushai the Archite met him with his coat torn and dust on his head. And David said to him, If you pass over with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant in time past. And so I will now be your servant. Then you can thwart the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Are not Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there? So it shall be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall report to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, their two sons are with them. They are Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything that you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Amen. Okay, so we start with Absalom. Remember, Absalom was brought back to Jerusalem from the place he was hiding in a different land. But he has an agenda when he comes, and one of the things he does is he goes to the gate. Now, you'd be familiar with, in most ancient Near East times, the gate of the city was where all the, not only commerce, but where all the judges sat. And so they would sit there because the gate was obviously the entry point where people would come from all different tribes. And they would sit at the gate and they would render judgment and people would come and bring griefs. It would be like small claims court, basically, that we have now. And the king or the king's servants are meant to stay in that place to render judgment. Unfortunately, what happens is that Absalom wakes up really early. And so he basically gets there first. But something that you need to pick up is not written is that David is lax in his service to the people. For whatever reason, we don't really know exactly why. Maybe it was all the foreign wars they were fighting, or maybe the different affairs of state that he had attended to. But in any case, he was negligent in his duties as the king. And so he was not listening to the people. And so there was a little bit of unrest amongst the common people that now David's our king, everything is great. And you see this, that they're waiting for change. Change happens. And then with people, if you don't really see anything happening, they'll very easily revolt. And that's basically what happens. And you see this happening all throughout. Even with President Trump right now, he came into with the wave of this unrest. If he doesn't deliver in the next year, that unrest is going to turn on him in some ways. And this has happened all throughout history. And so they're looking for change. Change happens, but then there's no recompense. The people don't feel that there's any change. And as a result, you have the backdrop to this situation that's happening right now. And for whatever reason, David is not fulfilling his duty as a king. And as a result, the people are suffering. And so it creates a window. In this case, it creates this window for Absalom to enter in. And so he goes early in the morning, and he's not supposed to do that. But he usurps the authority. So you can see a little bit of what is about to happen. He usurps the authority of the king, and he stands in that place of judgment over the people. And on not worse than that, but he basically appeases them by basically giving them exactly what they want to hear. In essence, Absalom was one heck of a politician. I mean, this guy, he came and he just gave them exactly what they wanted to hear. And there's no loss to him in that way because he's not the one that has to render this justice. He just tells people, yeah, this is a good case, and he blesses them and he sends them off. And you know, the kingdom, David has to deal with the consequences of these judgments. And so he comes, and then you can see his heart. Verse 4, his heart. Absalom will say, oh, that One would appoint me judge in the land. See, he was not judge over the land. In his own mouth, he says it. And that every man who has any suit or cause could come to me, and I would give him justice. That's he has no position to do that, but he lets it be known to people around. And because the king is negligent, in other words, there's this window of opportunity that people say, yeah, it'd be great that he was a judge. Now, a prince could be a judge in this way. But remember, Absalom has not seen the king's face. He's not welcome in the court. And so he's a prince stripped of his royalty in a certain sense. But it doesn't matter. He still is doing these things. And that's what happens. And he draws favor from the people, that even people prostrate themselves. And he goes and like a king. And the idea of he kisses their hand and takes hold of them and whatnot, he's blessing them. He's giving him this royal blessing. And of course, the people, it's very precious for them in that regard. And the people's hearts start turning against David. And maybe not so much David, but against David's counselors, because they're not doing their job at this stage. And so he turns to the king and he says, for 4 years, he's been asking the king that he could go to Hebron. And this is very strategic, because Hebron is going to be the place where he's going to basically organize his coup. and so because he says, I made an oath, I made a vow before God when I was in hiding, that when I would come, and notice the two different hearts, okay? Notice first Absalom, he appeals to his piety, but he's not pious at all. David is constantly making decisions based on his piety. Like, for one, he leaves Jerusalem because he esteems the city of God so much that he doesn't want anything bad to happen there. So he flees, he leaves, which is really not wise decision. You know, David's men, they could have slaughtered Absalom during this time. I mean, he still had his mighty men. These guys were formidable in war. And so, but David doesn't want anything bad to happen in Jerusalem, God's city. So he departs from the city. His piety takes over his actions. Then later on, the Ark of the Covenant is brought by Zadok the priest. And again, he so esteems the Ark of the Covenant, he sends it back to Jerusalem. And again, his piety overrides his decisions. You have Absalom on the other way, and he says, in him, he says it's his piety or his faithfulness, his duty to God, that's why he needs to move to Hebron. But the guy's lying. He made no vow to the Lord. He just wants a safe place away from Jerusalem and a holy place, a very holy place. And David gives him permission to do that. And so that speaks volumes to the people. So he could stage this coup. And even though he says the right things, kind of like on Sunday we're talking about, his heart was far away from that. He was not a pious person. He was a deceitful person. And he gets to this place, and all these things happening, and then Absalom, this guy's very cunning. So what did he do? He asked for Ahithophel. Now, if you look historically, Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. He's also one of David's counselors. And Ahithophel obviously was not very happy about what happened to his granddaughter, particularly his grandson-in-law. Uriah. And he's grieved by this. And so what Absalom does, he very cunningly chooses influential people in the city that may have any gripe against the king. And he recruits them into his, basically, his flock. And Ahithophel seemingly is the most senior ranking member of this rebellion. So much so that David, when he hears about it, he prays and says, Lord, let his advice, let his counsel be foolishness. And he feels so betrayed. I mean, he shouldn't know. I mean, he should know what's going on. And that's the other aspect of how Absalom gets his window, because David has no idea what's going on, even with his top leaders. And he is so secluded, and I don't know what's going on during this time, and we don't really get much. Maybe when we get later on to the Chronicles, we'll start hearing a little bit more of the insight here. But he's totally clueless about what's going on in his kingdom, and it creates this window of opportunity for his enemies, and quite sadly for his son to come in. And so David leaves, and now David, to get into his mindset, he's a little suspicious of everybody now in some way. And so he comes and if they get to the last house. In other words, he's right about to leave. He's at the end there. And they pass by the Cherethites, the Pelethites, the Gittites, 600 men. These guys were with him in Gath. And so they follow him there. And then he turns to Ittai, the Gittite, who's a leader here. And he asks this question. He says, will you also come with me? You know, why would you want to come? And he's testing him, basically, because apparently he just got there. It says yesterday. I don't think it's necessarily really particularly yesterday, but just very shortly he just got there. And so he's testing him. And so now you can see David's kind of get his antennas up a little bit because he's thinking, oh, maybe Absalom sent Ittai, the Gittite, to be a spy in my camp. And that's basically what he does. He sets Zadok, he sets his sons, and then he sets Hushai later on. And Hushai will play a huge role because Hushai will actually thwart the counsel of Ahithophel, which is actually very good counsel just a few chapters later on, which leads to Absalom's demise. And so he's thinking maybe Ittai is a spy sent by Absalom, and so he basically passes a test that whatever David had. And so all these guys come, the ark comes, he sends the ark back out of his piety, and then they're walking up there, and this is a type of Christ. So David walks up the Mount of Olives, and he weeps as he walks. So many thousands of years later on, the Son of David will also be right there on the sides of the Mount of Olives, and he will also weep, but different circumstances here in that way. And so we have this little glimpse of the Son of David. Obviously, we're talking about Jesus coming later on. And it's actually one of my favorite places in Israel is the Garden of Gethsemane, which David would have walked right by as he's traversing up the Mount of Olives. And and this basically starts this calamity that's at work here. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Notice how this happens. It's the opportunity. Negligence. In other words, not doing what you're supposed to be doing always opens a window for the devil. Remember David, we saw it when he fell with Bathsheba, that the time when kings go out to war, and he was negligent, and he didn't go out to war like he was supposed to. And then the whole episode with Bathsheba comes, which has to do with Ahithophel later on. But this is a good warning for us, negligence. You know, we don't do what we're supposed to be doing. And it opens that window for the enemies of God. Another way that the Bible talks about it is, he says it's a foothold. Remember, the writer says, do not be angry, or it says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. And so when we have unrepentant sin, it creates a window. Some type of negligence. David was negligent in his duty as a king. He didn't judge the people like he should have. He let that part of his duties go to the wayside, him and his counselors. And it set up Absalom perfectly to woo the hearts of the people. Negligence, not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So, brothers and sisters, is there anything this morning that you are not doing that you're supposed to be doing. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you and you're meant to forgive somebody or go to that person. Maybe you have a debt and you're meant to, and the Lord spoke to you, you're meant to pay it back. But you haven't. You're being negligent. You're being slow to obey. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Let's obey quickly. Let's not be negligent in our duties and give the enemy an opportunity. Let's pray this morning. Let's go before the Lord and let's give Him those things. Maybe there's some delayed obedience and there's some negligence on our part over some things that God may be asking us to do, well, let's make it right before the Lord. Well, let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through chemotherapy and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's lift up our government. Let's particularly pray for the chief executive elections that are coming up soon. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's ask God to bring revival to this city and the churches would be revived. Let's pray for our friends ministering here. Sports Services International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church. And let's continue to lift up the Hong Kong students that are under a tremendous amount of pressure and succumbing to that pressure by committing suicides. Let's pray that God would just halt that and release hope in their life. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with us as we serve the Lord with all of our heart and all of our energy. Let's pray for the families, that God would protect them and just continue to use them. Let's pray against any illness as well. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's lift up the welcoming team and the barista teams. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the volunteers, that they would really serve the Lord with such joy and welcome people into this house. Let's pray for our worship and sound ministries. Let's pray for our AV teams and pray for a real heart of worship and excellence in everything they do. Let's pray for our house churches tonight. Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lion Rock, Opeak Road, Soho, Westville, and TST. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and anoint our leaders, that they would really be able to share God's love with everyone that shows up. And lastly, let's just cover our retreat. Let's pray for our speakers. Pray for RT and Bobby. RT and his wife got their China visas. We're still waiting to hear from Bobby Connor. Pray that that process would go smoothly, that that they would be, the Lord would speak to them about the messages to share. Let's lift up the congregation, that we'll be ready to receive what the Lord has in store for us. And let's pray for everyone that's organizing. Pray for the venue. Pray for the logistics. The buses, you know, so many moving parts. Let's just ask God's hand to be with us throughout this retreat. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you again for the reminder in the scriptures, God, that, Lord, we need to be doing what we need to be doing, Lord. When we are negligent, when we're delaying our obedience or just being flat out disobedient, God, we create a window, Lord, for the enemy to move in our lives. And we want to shut that door, God. We want to close that window, Father, that the enemy would not have any foothold, God, whatsoever. And so we thank you, God. Thank you for the gift of repentance, God. And so watch over us, Lord. Help us to be diligent, God, in serving you, Lord. We thank you. We love you, God. Watch over us today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.